T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
3:04 on the clock. Welcome in on this Thursday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We're all here today and going to try to bring you a good old-fashioned sports conversation today. We got some, stories that I think most people would consider on the negative side in terms of getting back to some normalcy, but nevertheless, we will try to keep a smile on your face throughout the 4 hours you guys will be joining us today. Excuse me, the 97.3 The Fan wants to thank Jersey Mike's and their employees for working so hard during the COVID-19 disruption, and to remind our listeners that they are open for takeout right now. Chris Ello, how's your day today, brother?
My day's going pretty good, Tony. I'm actually doing all right today. Feeling pretty good. I got some good stories. I got some good news that we're going to pass along. Every day we're going to do our best to try and pass along some good news to all the listeners, just to keep us heading toward that light, that proverbial light at the end of this long, dark tunnel. But I am a little worried about my cohort, one Matt Scraby, and I want to bring him in. I want to make sure he's doing all right today. I know he's down at the Intercom Empire running the show. Matt, I want to make sure you're okay, because I don't know if you're aware of this, Tony, but today was the day that the Masters was supposed to start. I knew that was coming. Hello, friends. I just have a feeling Scraby's heart might be a little broken today, and Tony, you and I may have to try and cheer him up a little bit, because I like the first day of the Masters. I do, but for some people, the first day of the Masters is like Christmas morning. I mean, it's like the greatest day on the sports calendar. And the fact that today would have been the day at Augusta is... all right, enough of the music, Scraby. My goodness. Everybody drive off the side of the road.
You know, I did wake up this morning and pop in Tiger Woods PGA Tour with the Augusta edition, and I played a little Augusta. Shot 2-under, not the greatest, but it's okay.
You shot a 2-under today at Augusta?
Yeah, with my created golfer. He's not very good, like me. So
not very
it's
good.
All good.
2-under's pretty good.
Yeah, but you can easily get like 15-under.
Not even a challenge.
It's still fun to like string together 9 birdies in a row.
Well, the good news is for Tiger Woods is he gets to still be the defending champion for a little bit longer than usual.
Did you guys see he had his own Masters dinner on Tuesday night? He had his family, and he made what he was going to make, and he wore his green jacket, and he did everything from his house. It was pretty funny.
Like most of us. Couldn't get a haircut or a shave, so
true.
He was rocking the George Jefferson a little bit with the missing front piece. He was rocking that a little bit, but you can't even be mad at him, because we're all under the same thing. I mean, I'm rocking it right now, so that's how it's going.
You'd love to be rocking the George Jefferson look right now. You would love to have that much hair.
Touche. I can get that much hair on the sides. That's not a problem. The sides,
oh, you can get it on the sides?
I could grow a George Jefferson if I wanted to. I choose not to. It's not a good look.
And we choose for you not to as well.
Thank you. But yes, as Chris said, we will try to bring you some good stories throughout the day. Obviously, out in Santa Clara, Matt Scraby stumping yard, the 49ers stumping yard. Not good news coming out of there. It sounds like, according to the board of supervisors, they basically have said there would be no football there until Thanksgiving. Big 12 commissioner seems a little bit concerned about having a robust, full college football season. That's a worry for his, and we'll get to those stories later. But I want to hand it off to Chris to start on some positive. Start on a positive note, Chris. Why'd you take it away?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we decided yesterday that what we're going to try to do every single day on the program is come up with one bit of good news. And each of us have kind of been in charge of coming up with something good every day. And today, I opened the program just with the banner headline in the San Diego Union-Tribune today. It was actually very easy to find some good news. This is the first positive-sounding banner headline I have seen in the local newspaper in about a month. And the headline very simply reads, "County Notes Sign of Progress in Fight." And then underneath that, it says, "Social distancing measures appear to be flattening the curve." And it also says, "Even New York sees encouraging indicators amid difficult week." So I just thought that was a good way to start the day right there. And I just wanted to share that with everybody out there. And just look, maybe there's no great sports news today, because I think we're going to find that most of the sports stuff is kind of on a downer. There is some good news in terms of progress being made. And, you know, as long as progress is made, then that's good for everybody. So I wanted to throw that in. And I wanted to add one thing to my bit of good news. You guys know who John Krasinski is?
Duh.
Okay, yes. You do. Tony, do you know who he is?
Yes.
The guy on The Office, right?
Jim
yes. on The Office. Well, if you and I highly recommend this to everybody. If you're driving, you can't jot this down, but you can remember it. If you are driving, you can jot this down. Just jot down some good news. And I thought this was really interesting. If you go to YouTube and you type in the search field for YouTube, "some good news," you'll see a couple of videos pop up that John Krasinski has put together, and his news network, which he has created, is called Some Good News. And he does about a 15-minute piece, and all it is good news, things that are happening out there that are good. And it makes you laugh, and it makes you cry, and it makes you be happy to be part of this world. And I just thought it was interesting that we decided today we were going to come up with our good news segment. And then my wife flips over to YouTube today and finds this "some good news" thing from John Krasinski. I recommend everybody watch it. It only takes 10 minutes or something to watch it. Steve Carell is interviewed in one of them, which is hilarious. But it's not just about interviews and hilarity. It's about a lot of good, fun things and things that are just good in the world right now. And I think it'll put a smile on everybody's heart. So there.
Bam. Well, you leave it to Chris to bring us some of the good news today. And that is, you know, sometimes, Chris, you're not necessarily the good news guy, you know.
But I know.
It's nice for you to put on some a different coat today and be the good news guy for once.
I'm the good news guy today. That's right.
So. All right, yes. We, along with the other stories, Michael Collins is going to join us. ESPN, we'll talk a little bit about the new golf schedule for the PGA Tour when things get back rolling. We'll have a pop quiz later on in the show. We got a countdown today, top five scary movies. How do you guys feel about that?
Love it.
I know you do, Scraby. You're a big scary movie guy. Chris,
Scraby
scary
goes
movie
to
guy?
That category. I'll be all right in that category. I think my category is going to be a little different than Scraby's list, but or Scraby's idea of a list, but I think it'll be good.
All right. Of course, we got Strat-O-Matic Baseball again, Padres. Actually, we don't have today, right? We have a recap today because today is an off day for the Padres.
Today would have been an off day for the Padres, yes. They would have been coming back from Atlanta getting ready for a homestand.
So sit back, relax. We're going to take you on this ride through the rest of the show. We have, however,
Welcome back, 318 The Time. Gwynn and Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Matt Scraby really doing a fantastic job hanging in on a day when the Masters was supposed to tee off today. See, he's doing perfectly well.
Just great.
I'm very happy to hear that you're doing perfectly well, Mr. Scraby. Hey, we got a couple of phone calls online, and I want to get to these phone callers here, 833-288-0973. Jot that number down. You should have it memorized by now anyway, 833-288-0973. That is the number to dial in if something is on your mind. Also, we're going to have a round of Chris versus the Fans coming up in about a half an hour. Chance for you to win prizes, sandwiches, a Jersey Mike's. But let's go out and hear a couple of phone calls right now. Jason from San Diego wanted to join the program, duck in a couple of things. Jason, how are you today?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
We're hanging
in
there.
Jason.
First off, I want to say, Tony, it's an absolute rip hearing you on the radio and listening to your dad broadcast all those games over the years. It's crazy. It's kind of mind-boggling hearing you, and you sound exactly like him.
Oh, I hear that.
Legend,
believe it or not, I hear that often. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
No problem. Well, I just want to call it, when I met Jerry Coleman, I worked at a place called Tender Greens. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but
yeah.
First time he walked in, I was starstruck, of course. And when he picked up his food, I just handed him his food and told him, it's a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Coleman. And he paid me no mind. And his wife, Maggie, I'll never forget her name, looks at me and mouths and points at her ears and says, he can't hear you. And I was like, oh, okay. I worked for him, and we opened up a restaurant in UTC. And he used to come in there frequently and just getting to know him and talk to him. And he was obviously a legend, and it was cool to be able to chat with him and talk with him before his obvious tragic loss of him. But no, it was awesome. His wife is really cool, and he would come in and see me. I was the sous chef / manager there, so we would help get the food go quick, and he was just a really cool dude to meet. Not ever seeing him play, obviously, but cool dude to meet, and it was a cool day and days in my life, so.
Thank you for sharing that, Jason. That's awesome. Jerry was one of a kind for sure. I always got a kick out of him and Ted together. They were they were a riot act together. Jerry obviously being the one leading the way, and Ted allowing it to happen. It was just a fun dynamic to be around the two.
That was great, and you're right, Tony. One time you and I got to call the preseason game about a month ago with Jesse Agler, and as much fun as I had with you guys, it didn't quite hold up to the time when they invited me to come down to spring training many years ago and actually call three games with Jerry Coleman and just to spend the time with him. And I mean, I was just like Jason was when I met him and was talking to him, and he finally had to look at me and just say, you know what? You're here for a reason. You're really good at what you do. Stop talking about how good I am and just do what you can do. You know what I'm saying?
He hated talking about himself.
He was so uncomfortable that I kept telling him what a legendary person he was, which you almost can't help but say it when you meet him for the first time or the first couple of times. But
right.
He was right. He wanted to broadcast the games, and he said, hey, they sent you down here to do these games because you can do them. And I did a couple innings, and he looked at me and he said, you know what, you can do this. And that was one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. Just a simple compliment from Jerry Coleman, who, you know, I think a lot of people forget, Tony, not only was the voice of the Padres for all of those years and a great player, and then, of course, everybody remembers all of his war stories, but he was the national radio broadcaster for CBS Baseball's Game of the Week for many, many years. I mean, it wasn't like Jerry Coleman was just kind of like the guy that we all fell in love with here in San Diego, which we did. But he was good enough that he broadcasted national baseball all around the country on CBS. He and Jack Buck and all kinds of guys like that did the Saturday Night Baseball Game of the Week on radio back in a day when that was something that you would tune in and listen to. So, I mean, Jerry, I mean, you know, I don't know. There's not so many things you can say great about him, but I think people forget a lot that he was a national broadcaster as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was certainly one of the best doing it, for sure.
He was so good at it. So good at it. Let's go to Kevin in Chula Vista. Wanted to jump in on the program here and get on the case of that guy from Santa Clara who's trying to douse our douse our football season. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Thanks, Chris. You know, appreciate your efforts to be positive, and God knows I think we're flattening the curve. I think it's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of the projections of apocalyptic is really being tailored back in a lot of cases, even New York City at this point. So here we have this guy that comes on from Santa Clara that has, I don't know what his credentials are, but, you know, if you're going to make statements like that, you better come out with some very, very qualified, serious fact-finding that's bona fide. And this is where the media has to step in on this and help us. You guys have got the microphones on this. You need to start asking the tough questions. Where is this guy getting his data from? Because there is none. And this is what hurts the entire situation of trying to get on top of this, because it destroys credibility. And we've got the same thing coming out of Sacramento, where you got a governor saying, well, there's not going to be a football season this year and the kids can't go back to school until September. How the hell does he know? You know, the people that are making these projections, they don't know. So, you know, at this point, chill out, do what we have to do, and let's see where we are at the end of 30 days here. And then take this 1 month at a time. And if things look good, we got to get back to life here, because what's going to happen to the bubble people? They're going to come out of their bubble. Their immune systems are going to be super compromised because they haven't been exposed to anything. No one's talking about that. No one's talking about the 20,000 people that died of the flu, but yet we're having an absolute economic meltdown because of this, and we're going to throw the country into a depression that is going to make the Great Depression of the 30s look like Christmas Day.
Hang on now, Kevin. Now you sound like the voice of doom and gloom there, if you're going to take it that far. I'm worried, Chris.
I'm worried.
Well,
I'm worried.
I am
That's
too.
What I'm saying.
We are too. We're all worried. There's no question about it. And look, we're bringing you the news of what the guy talked about in Santa Clara today. I agree with you. I think there is going to be football, and I think that things are going to be going by that time, and I'm optimistic that they're going to figure out a way to get into college football and get into NFL football. And, yeah, I agree with you. I think it is a little bit over the top for somebody to just, unilaterally claim that, you know what, we're not going to have any football until Thanksgiving. I mean, there's no way we know this for sure. There's no way we know we're going to have baseball in, you know, the month of May or June. We don't know that for sure either. But I think both of us, Tony and I, and I think even trying to bring Scraby along on this, but I think we're all trying to look at it from the pie in the sky attitude rather than the doom and gloom. Because the doom and gloom isn't, you're right, Kevin, it's not doing anybody any good to have doom and gloom. Pie in the sky sometimes isn't exactly the greatest way to go either, but
right.
In these circumstances, I'll take pie in the sky over doom and gloom.
Yeah, I think most people will. Most people will, but I think it's important to be honest, and the facts are the facts. So, we don't know where my man in Santa Clara got his info from. I would like to think if you're gonna speak about something, you have your facts together, but if he's one of these cats that doesn't have his facts and is just being doom and gloom, then certainly that's something we need to pay attention to. Chris and I's job is to bring you the facts and do our best job to keep you guys smiling while you're listening to our show. We aren't the news. We certainly are just reporting to you guys what is being said out there. You could take it however you decide to take it from that point on.
Very well put, Tony. Let's get out to another phone call. Ray out there joining the program with Gwen and Chris on this Thursday afternoon. Hey, Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the players was canceled. What do you think would have happened if they would have said golfers only finish it up? And what's the latest on the British? Thanks.
Okay.
Ray,
what did he ask? Scraby, he didn't quite get his first question.
He said, what happened with the players if they were to finish with just the players' championship?
Oh, the players' championship.
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Well, they were trying to finish. This all came down when they were playing the players. They played the first round of the players, and then they ended up canceling it.
Yeah.
I've read a lot about this because I thought, hey, it's a golf course. It's in the open air. They could do whatever they want. But with broadcast teams and caddies and officials, you're putting a lot of people in the same space. So
not
that's
only
why they
that,
didn't want to do that.
Not only that, some of the players were uneasy about continuing the tournament.
They were
at that point. So
yeah, we didn't have as much. We don't have a lot of information now, but we had even less information when that happened.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And then the second part of it, the British has been canceled by the.
That's
RNA.
The Open, right?
Yeah,
Did we have our spiel about that?
Yes, we did.
By the way, I was thinking about this on the drive home that night. The Open is the first. They invented golf in Europe. Why can't they call themselves the Open? We took golf from them. So why does it make them arrogant?
We didn't.
Why are you defending them right now?
Because Chris called them arrogant.
They are arrogant because they think that their golf tournament doesn't need a name. They just can call it the Open and we'll all know what it is.
That makes us arrogant because we think that we're better than them, even though they invented the sport.
I didn't say we were better than them. I said we're at least equal footing than them. The U.S. Open has helped promote the game of golf every bit as much as the British Open.
I don't know about that. We could do this for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I'll never get you to agree with that.
No.
I did that purposely. I just wanted to get Chris.
Oh, I know you did.
A bit again.
Anybody want to talk about Ndamukong Suh for a minute?
I think he's been featured in the show the first 2 days of this week.
I agree with you. All right. Well, thanks for those phone calls, you guys. And we're always open for the phone calls throughout the program. We don't always sit here and say, hey, call us. But you should know that if there's anything on your mind, anything you need to talk about, anything you just want to share, especially during these crazy times, we are available for you at 833-288-0973. That is the phone number that you're going to want to dial in to be part of Chris versus the Fans, which comes up in about 15 minutes. Before that, though, LeBron James has opened up about how he would feel if the season wasn't finished, the NBA season. We'll tell you.
Type of music you got to have in order to have a good mindset about what's going on around us. Welcome into Gwen and Chris 337 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, all here with you. We have a few phone calls to get to, but first let's check traffic with Kelly D.
Well, the roads aren't looking too bad so far this afternoon. One trouble spot in our East County, though. Eastbound side of the 8 just before Magnolia. Looks like there is an accident that is sitting over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got to get to the phone lines. Scrape, who we got on the line?
We got Bob and John.
All right, let's go with Bob first on the line. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
We're well.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a little something, Chris, that goes back to Chris versus the Fans a couple nights ago when you talked about the British Open and not having the British Open and all that. Then you got into the USC and then the Ohio State University. And then the very first question was, where did Jesse Agler go to school? And the guy missed it, and you've answered with the U.
You know, I
remember
hate,
that.
I hate hypocrisy.
I wanted
Bob.
To bring a little smile and.
I hate hypocrisy, and I can't stand it even more when I'm the subject of the hypocrisy.
Nice work, Bob.
Thanks for the laughter. Thanks for everything.
That's a good one, Bob.
God,
way to pay
Bob.
Attention. He's had that on his chest for a couple of days because, if I'm not mistaken, that was like Tuesday.
It was. I'm sorry. Bob was calling at the wrong time. I had like my hair on fire running around, and I would put him on hold, and then he'd come back, and it would be gone or something. So I'm glad he got through.
Good. And he's absolutely right. From now on, Jesse Agler went to Miami of Florida, and that's as good as I'm going to give him.
Let's get to the next phone call. John, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. John, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, even though there is no baseball, I got baseball on my mind, but before I get to my question, I just got to mention, you know, I'm thinking about baseball, and I, you know, hear your voice. I think about your dad. My wife's not a huge fan of sports, and especially baseball, but when she found out that she shares the same birthday in the same year as your dad, she gets a big, big grin on her face and her eyes light up because obviously she knows who he was. But it's kind of funny, though, because now she's kind of like, she likes baseball a little bit more after finding out that she actually shared that day with him.
Oh, May 9th, 1960, huh?
Was it 60? You know what? Okay, I'm off then because she was born 62. I thought he was born 62, but any case, my question is, I know you probably weren't even born yet, but has your uncles or your family or Tony, did Dad ever discuss how close he actually ever came to considering professional basketball over baseball?
That's a good question, Johnny. Actually, he did tell me. Thank you for the phone call. My dad's in his mind, he knew who he had to beat out. It was a guy who I would later see on like one of those hardwood classics. He was playing for Phoenix. It was a guard. I can't remember his name, but he just felt like his height was a disadvantage. You know, he had been in the same class as guys like Magic Johnson, and he's looking at a 6'9" point guard. And obviously, Magic was different, but for the rest of the NBA league, you know, 6'2", 6'3", was your standard point guard in the NBA, and my dad was 5'11", and I think he felt like he had a better chance of having a longer career in the game of baseball than he did basketball, and I think he got it right.
I think he got it right, too, unless he would have gone on and had a Hall of Fame basketball career. I will say this. I had the luxury, Tony, of getting to play in a few pickup games of basketball with your dad. And I wasn't a great player and still not a great player, but playing with your dad as a point guard helped make me a better player. That's how good he was. He would get you the ball in the perfect spot. And I know people that talk about basketball and really understand the game understand that a pass, a perfectly made pass, will lead to a basket more times than it won't. Yeah. And your dad was outstanding at finding the person who was open, getting them the ball when they needed to get the ball, and getting them the ball where they needed to get the ball. He had a very good feel for the game. And, I don't know if he would have made it in the NBA because you're right. 5'11 would have been a tough go for him. But I can tell you this. And I'm sure that if we ever got Danny Ainge to come on this show, he would agree with me. But I don't really want to get Danny Ainge on the show too badly.
He's a cougar.
He's a cougar. But your Danny Ainge was an NBA All-Star player and a World Championship player for the Boston Celtics. Make no mistake about that. He was on All-Star teams. He won championship rings. Danny Ainge was a hell of an NBA player. And when those two used to battle in college, when San Diego State played BYU, your dad got the best of Danny Ainge just as often as Danny Ainge got the best of your dad. So it might have been a pretty close call as far as how good a Tony Senior's basketball career might have been in the NBA. I wouldn't have put it past him to be good, but Hall of Fame level, I think he probably made the right call for baseball.
Yeah, it's tough to argue against the baseball selection, no doubt.
Yeah.
Thanks for the phone call, John. Let's move to our next caller. I believe it's Oscar. Oscar, welcome to Gwen and Chris, man. How you doing today?
Hey, Oscar.
Hey, guys. What's up, dude? How you guys doing?
We're good. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, Padres haven't lost a game yet, so we're still looking good.
Yeah, undefeated.
We are undefeated.
Nope. I was thinking today, you know what, from 2 weeks from now is the draft. It's going to be like the biggest thing since 2 months. I mean, I was looking forward to taking time off of work and going to Vegas and, you know, seeing who number two pick the Redskins would pick up. But I think it's going to be a lot better sitting down, really, like, understanding, like, how the teams select the guy they want. I'm sure it's going to go through a big process, but it's going to be the most watched thing since the KC Rams game watched.
Yeah, Oscar, thanks for the phone call. He's probably right, Chris. I mean,
yeah.
At this point, that's the next real televised sporting event. I mean, we're going to get Horse here in a couple of days, right?
Is that when the Horse is starting?
The Horse is a two-night event, by the way.
It's a two-night event?
It's like week apart or something, or maybe not quite a week.
Okay, well, either way, that's coming up. The draft is probably going to be more watched. I mean, considering it is more watched when people are walking up on stage, I don't see why it wouldn't be now.
I'm going to watch the draft this year, and I haven't watched a draft since the mid-90s.
You're not a big fan of drafts.
I'm terribly not a big fan of the drafts. I find them to be the most boring thing on television. But again, right now, I give the draft like a 4 out of 10 star, but a 4 ranks highly now because there's nothing above that on television.
Right.
So I would love to watch the draft right now, and I think I will be tuned in for sure to see how things pan out. It's going to be interesting to hear all the talking heads and their different domiciles, you know, trying to break things down and trying to tell us what's going to happen again.
Wait, did you just drop a domiciles on us?
I had to because I didn't know how else to explain it. Sorry.
Could we get a definition of say it again for me?
Domicile?
Domiciles.
Domicile.
That's a dwelling, right?
It's a dwelling. It's a place where you live. So.
All right. Domicile.
Yeah, it's wherever these, because I know all the people at ESPN aren't going to be able to sit together in the same studio, so they're going to have to be all spread all over the place. So
okay.
That's why I brought that up. But what I'm really looking forward to is hearing the general managers moan and groan and whine and cry about how they don't have enough information to maybe make the right selection. And
how
this, that,
often
and the
will
other.
We hear that in an interview? You know, based on what we had this year, this is how we were able to make the pick.
Don't hold me to this pick, because I really never got a chance to meet the guy and ask him whether he feels he likens himself to a piece of broccoli when I consider vegetables. You know, indeed. These general managers are just they're barking up the wrong tree if they're asking for my forgiveness on this. Do your best on the draft, just like you always do, and it'll turn out fine. But I am kind of looking forward to the draft this year. I think that is something that's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to have to be a big deal because we've got nothing else.
We got one more phone call. Gary, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday, brother.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Chris, Tony, greetings to you. I hope you all both are doing as well as can be expected.
You too. We are.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I think the other day you did mention the great Al Kaline, the right fielder for Detroit, yes. Number 6. Yeah, I grew up in the state of Michigan, and he was my favorite player. Chris, I think I might be a couple of years older. I was born 6 months before Tony, your dad. I was born in December of 59. Your dad was born in May of 60. So we were about the same age. But getting back to Mr. Kaline, I remember him from the 68 World Series, and I think he probably was just as gracious as your dad. And he was with all of those guys, the Silver Fox, Jim Northrup, Bill Freehan, and Mickey Stanley, and Mickey Horton. The one pitcher that I have to mention, too, is Mickey Lolich. How many pitchers would it take today to do what he did in 1971? 25-14. I think he had a list over a 3 ERA, 376 innings pitched.
Yeah, can you imagine?
He didn't win the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, back in those days, that wasn't enough to win the Cy Young Award, but it was incredible. You talk about that.
Thank you for the phone call, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. You talk about that 68 Tiger team, and you mentioned, you said Mickey, but it's Willie Horton. But that was a phenomenal team that rallied from three games to one down against the great St. Louis Cardinal team and beat them, beat Bob Gibson. Mickey Lolich beat Bob Gibson in the game 7 of that series. Mickey Lolich won game 5, Tony, with a complete game, came back 2 days later and outpitched Bob Gibson to win game 7. That's what kind of World Series Mickey Lolich had. But Al Kaline, I think the neat thing about Al Kaline, and when Gary talks about the greatness of Al Kaline, 22 years in the major leagues, all Hall of Fame career, .297 batting average, but like your dad, right field, all with the Detroit Tigers. Never played with another franchise. We talked about that just yesterday, how rare that was, or rare that is, in the world of sports. And as I mentioned the other day, Al Kaline won a batting title at the age of 20 in 1955. It's still the youngest player ever to win a batting title. So Al Kaline was a great one.
I had the honor of meeting Mr. Kaline and at the Hall of Fame a few times. And you know, he was as charming as everybody says he was. I mean, it came all the way. I mean, every story you heard about Al Kaline is very similar to what we just heard from Gary. You know, just an absolute gentleman. And he just loved the game of baseball. Loved the game of baseball for sure.
He was awesome.
All right. Let's we got a little Chris versus the fan coming up, so let's get to it.
you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself?
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scravy, why don't you give us the rules?
You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or you win. We need some callers right now. 833-288-0973.
While you're getting those phone callers, Scravy, let me remind everybody you can check out the all-new radio.com rewind feature on our app. It allows you to pause or rewind live radio, or go back 24 hours and listen to all of our local talk shows down the radio download radio.com app today. And I know, Tony, a lot of people are not in their cars, not in their usual routine when they listen to Gwen and Chris, or they're home, working from home. And it's very simple to continue to follow the show. Just download that radio.com app, go to your app page, hit radio.com, you'll get the app, you'll download it, and you can listen to the show just as if you were in your car or just as if you're at your desk at work or wherever the case may be. So we want to remind everybody to make sure you get that radio.com app downloaded so that you can not only listen to Gwen and Chris, but to all of the shows on 97.3 The Fan. Very, very simple to do, but understandable that everybody's kind of, you know, searching right now and trying to figure out exactly how to do everything because they're not getting their – we're not in our normal routines.
No. No, and that's always makes it tough. All right, here we go. First contestant out in Lakeside, Sean. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, Sean.
We're good, Sean. Here we go. First question.
Let's go.
What year were the Padres established as a major league team?
1969.
1969 is correct.
Winner.
Nice.
We mentioned it right at the end of the show yesterday, Tony. Yesterday was the 51st anniversary of the first ever Padre baseball game.
That's right. That's right. Question number two. What team did Zion Williamson make his debut against this year?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is incorrect.
You know what I don't like is when I don't have the answer, but I think I do, and then the contestant guessed the same guess that I was going to guess, and they're wrong. Because that's who I thought it was. I know he made 4 3-pointers in that game, and it was like the last 4 point. There are 4 3-pointers you made. I'll just guess the Mavericks, but I really don't remember.
The Mavericks are incorrect. The reason why you guys both picked Brooklyn is because the team wears similar colors.
Yep.
It was the Spurs, actually.
Ah.
And, okay. Sean, you'll continue on to the third round, brother.
Yeah, Sean, you got a shot to win it right here, baby.
All right. Along with Joe Carter and Roberto Alomar. Excuse me, this is not written right. Joe Carter and Roberto Alomar were sent to Toronto for Fred McGriff and what infielder in December of 1990?
Tony Fernandez.
Tony Fernandez.
Wow.
It's a win.
Sweeping it.
Rest in peace, Tony Fernandez.
Yeah, he just passed
nice
away.
Win, Sean.
Wow.
Nice win. Four pack of Jersey Mike sandwiches. Congratulations. Hang on the line. Scraby will get your address when you have to wait for those sandwiches. Nice work,
yeah,
man.
And everybody, by the way, can everybody out there who's been winning these Jersey Mike sandwiches and we're trying to give away a family four-pack every day, be a little patient, okay? The mail is moving a little slower right now. Deliveries are moving a little slower. Scraby's getting everybody's address. We got to get the word to our promotion department. The promotion department's got to pick the, you know, get the certificates,
yeah,
put them in the
mail. It's not next day to you.
What's that?
I said, we're not next daying the family four pack of sandwiches.
We know you're hungry out there, but yes, we are not overnighting these sandwiches to you. So just relax. Everybody who wins, I promise you, you will get your prize. And look, if a month goes by or something and you haven't gotten your prize, then I will give you Matt Scraby's home phone number and you can call
him. Wait. Huh? I heard that you were personally going to deliver the sandwiches to them once this is all over.
You know, that would not be a good idea because having either Tony or I deliver the sandwiches means that most of them would get eaten
before they would arrive at the door. Yeah.
So that's not a very good idea, Scraby, although I love where you're trying to come from on that one. Hey, thanks to everybody who called in today on Chris versus the Fan. I know it's one of those games that a lot of times we get the first caller will win. A lot of times we don't get anybody to win. We get a lot of contestants, but we'll have another crack at it tomorrow. I also want to remind everybody, Tony, because we didn't get last week, we didn't get a good contestant. I want to make sure that somebody reserves 6:30 today. I know it's a couple hours from now, and we'll remind you a couple more times. But at 6:30 today, we're going to have our weekly pop quiz. And it's important that we get a celebrity contestant out there, and you are that celebrity. If you want to call in, you can take part in our pop quiz. The whole key to the pop quiz is we need a good listener out there to be part of the pop quiz to help keep Scraby winless. It is very, very important that Scraby never win a pop quiz. We've been doing it now for over 2.5 months, and Scraby is yet to be victorious in a single pop quiz. So we're going to need a contestant, but that's not till about 6:30 today. So I just want you guys to keep that in mind. If you're anywhere around the phone, make sure you call in.
The goal is to get him as many L's as possible before he gets his first W. Let's see if he can set the trend here, or set the record. Yeah. For most losses in pop quiz. We're going to step away, get to break. We got Strat-O-Matic. Recap of the first, 12 games we got? 13?
I think we've got 13 in the books.
First 13 games. Plus, the Bulls might have made their first move to be relevant again. We'll talk about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.